Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Superloop Limited FY 2021 results presentation. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Paul Tyler, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for making the time to join our call for the FY 2021 full year results and market update. I'm joined here by our outgoing CFO, Lydia Valenzuela, and our incoming CFO, Luke Oxenham, who are also on the speaker lines here and will be part of the presentation this morning. FY 2021 was a transformational year for Superloop. It's a year in which we really made significant progress, not just delivering strong results for the financial year, but really laying the foundations for growth in the years to come. We put in place an accelerated growth strategy, a multi-year accelerated growth strategy, which is bearing fruit, and I want to spend a little bit of time talking about that today. It was a year of simplification, of momentum, of disciplined cost control, and it's a year in which we hit a number of key milestones, not the least of which was getting to the free cash flow breakeven for the year. If we just jump into slide three, we can touch on some of the operating highlights for the year. You can see there on the revenue side, we had strong organic growth in both of our reportable segments, being consumer and connectivity. In fact, adjusting for our discontinued business, we saw a 14% year-on-year in the underlying revenue growth. That's on a standalone basis, so that's not taking into account any M&A we did around the acquisition of Exetel, which I'll talk through later because that wasn't completed in FY 2021. On the profitability angle, and perhaps a real headline here is that the underlying EBITDA for the company or for the group more than doubled in the year-on-year in FY 2021. That's attributed to both sales, and I'll cover some of the sales performance, but also really strong cost control for the group. That doubling of profitability is what's led to the cash flow breakeven position that we've been able to deliver. There's a lot of simplification through the year, so we have completed the divestment of our bespoke cloud and managed services business, a business which was low growth and not something we could scale. Now we're in a position where we have a clean P&L going forward, and so much so actually that the quality of the earnings that the group enjoys is attributed more than 90% to recurring revenue now, which is obviously a much stronger position. These results were really delivered through a number of factors, but one of those being a renewal of the leadership team and adding really significant industry experience to the executive team over the last 12 months. If we jump to slide four, before I get into the details of the operating performance itself, I want to touch on this accelerated growth strategy that we put in place. We're now one year into a multi-year program, and that strategy has five key tenets. The first tenet is we want to participate in markets where Superloop can leverage its strength, its competitive advantage, its assets, and we want those markets to be of sufficient scale that we can really deliver operating leverage. The three markets that we've selected are the consumer market, the business market, and the wholesale market, and that's distinct from the company in the past, where we've been much more focused on just the wholesale market itself. With the definition of those three market segments that we want to participate in, the second tenet of the strategy is to win in each of those segments. We want to grow our presence, we want to grow our market share, but not just grow our market share, we want to retain our market share in each of those three segments by delivering a great product, premium high-speed products, market-leading customer experiences, and keep the strength of our asset current. We want to continue to invest in our core network infrastructure such that we can continue to have a defensible competitive advantage in each of those customer segments. The third element of the strategy is around profit. We don't just want to grow the top line, we don't just want to grow revenues, we want to do it profitably. And we want to drive profit in each of our three segments. We want to simplify the operating platform so that we can deliver that profitable growth. And that obviously leads to value creation and ultimately enhanced balance sheet capacity as well, which allows us then to lead into the fourth element of our strategy, which is around acceleration of that organic growth that we want in each of our three segments through being open to inorganic opportunities should they come along and should they represent attractive value. And clearly during the year we found such an opportunity with Exetel. And finally, the fifth element of the strategy is around attracting the right talent to deliver on that strategy in the mid and long term. So if we jump to slide five, we just want to do a quick scorecard of how we've delivered against the five elements of that strategy in the first year of the plan. Obviously, on the first one, we've redefined our customer segments. So moving from just being focused on the wholesale segment, or primarily focused on the wholesale segment, to one in which we have an equal investment across all three segments. And there's a cultural shift that comes with that across the whole of the company. We actually announced in November last year a strategic investment in the two underrepresented segments, being the consumer and the business go-to-market. You saw that we gave up in-year EBITDA to make that investment in the go-to-market. And that doesn't mean that we haven't continued to push the wholesale segment as well, and clearly we have. In particular, we're making really strong progress in the white label or enablement platforms for NBN, and we announced some key contract wins in the year, such as the M&F contract that has previously been announced. So in terms of winning in each of those segments, you can see in the results that we'll talk through now that the targets that were set against that strategic investment were delivered, and very strongly so. The third element of the strategy, if we just look at the progress of the scorecard against delivering profitable growth across each of the three segments, again, we'll cover it in detail here in the results, but we're very happy with the progress today. But not just the progress today. Obviously, if we look at the pro forma EBITDA into the future, we're very comfortable that we've got a platform for continued growth, and that bleeds into the fourth strategy here around M&A, with the completion of Exetel, not in FY21. Obviously, it was completed in July of 21, at the end of July 21. And the other encouraging element of the fourth strategy here around Exetel is that the integration is going really well, and I'll talk some more about that, such as it's actually running ahead of the plan. And finally, as I said, around attracting the right talent, we're comfortable that we've brought the right talent into the company. We have a significant renewal of the leadership, and that's delivering results. So to sum up my perspective on the first year of that multi-year strategy, very happy with the progress today. I think we have the foundations in place, and we're really set up for some pretty exciting things into the future. So if we jump to slide seven. Slide seven really looks at the operating highlights for the company. So the first is around the profit. And we delivered $18.2 million for the year before one-off acquisition costs. And that's obviously comfortably within the market guidance of $18 to $18.5 million that we confirmed only a number of months ago. On a reported basis, that's a 35% year-on-year increase in EBITDA. Which obviously is strong, but the even more compelling story is that on an underlying basis, so excluding the one-off acquisition costs and the CMS business, which is divested, we saw a more than doubling of the EBITDA for the year. Obviously, really profound growth there. I'll come back to revenue in a sec with the two segments, and let's just jump to the cost control for the business. So OPEX for the year, or OPEX control for the year, was obviously really good, with a 17% year-on-year reduction in our OPEX. And our capital expenditure was stable at the $14.6 million. Now, we've guided that we will keep our capital envelope to $20 million or less each year. And obviously, at just under $15 million, they were comfortably within that guidance. And, of course, the strong balance sheet performance there was a was highlighted with ending the year at a pro forma leverage ratio of just on 1.4 times. So really good performance on profit balance sheet and cost control. And if we jump to slide 8 and look at really the sales momentum by segment. So if we touch on the connectivity business, which is one of our reportable segments there, which covers the wholesale and business, we see that we had, again, another really strong year of sales growth, 27% increase year on year in terms of fiber connectivity sales. Some great new logos there that that we can refer to. I'll come back to the TCV, the 57 million. I'll come down to the next slide. But really encouraging sales growth there across the wholesale and business segments. On the consumer side, perhaps even more profound there is the way that the consumer subscriptions continue to grow really strongly. We ended the year at 47,000 subscribers. So blend those three customer segments together and we get an overall continuing revenue growth year on year of 14% for the group. So pretty happy with the way the sales side of the business has developed. If we jump into slide 9, the connectivity results themselves, if we look at the, which as I said covers wholesale and business. If we look at the way that their sales growth has continued, so much so that over the period for 18 through to 21, we're actually showing a 35% CAGR on the way that our annualised revenue sold is tracking. So, you know, we had good progress in that space, but it's encouraging to see the great progress continue. But another element I'd really like to call out here is the terms on which that business is being written. So if you look at FY20, when we reported this, just over $16 million of annualised revenue sold, we actually were writing around about 40% of our business on 2 years or greater, leading to this $30 million of TCV that was, or total contract value that was being written in FY20. If we jump forward to FY21, we actually see that we're writing over 90% of our business on terms of 2 years or greater. So a $57 million TCV for the year against the $20 million or $21 million of sales that's listed there. Obviously contributing really strongly to the backlog for the company. And again, another lead indicator of why we have confidence in the future. So on a reported revenue basis, we see a 22% increase in revenue growth for the year blended in the connectivity segment. Okay, jump to slide 10 when we touch on the home broadband segment. Again, another great set of results. So the CAGR here, you know, continuing to see really strong trajectory, 59% CAGR over a couple of years there. And on a revenue side, actually, if you look at the disproportionate increase in revenue in FY21 versus the number of subscribers written in FY21, it can be attributed to a couple of things. One is the timing of when those subscribers were signed up, you know, if we go back to the strategic investment we made earlier in the year, but also the focus that we have as a business on the higher ARPU, high-speed plans. So Superloop is disproportionately represented in the high-speed part of the market. That's part of our brand promise, and we're doing quite well there with those high-speed plans, leading to this disproportionately high revenue growth. So 47,000 subscribers we ended the year at, but actually just last week we passed another milestone. It's on FY21, but still a great milestone to call out. We passed the 50,000 subscriber mark for home broadband subscribers on the Superloop brand. So again, I'd say really great set of results for the consumer segment as well. So with that, those highlights, I'll hand over to Lydia, I think, to take us through the financial performance, please.
Thanks, Paul, and good morning, everyone. I'm going to spend the next few minutes just to take you through the financial performance of the group. As Paul mentioned, we're pleased with the EBITDA for FY21, which has come in at $18.2 million, and comfortably between the range guidance range provided to the market of $18 and $18.5 million. We refer to page 12. I'll take you through the group revenue. So the performance for the year has come in at $110.7 million in revenue for FY21. It is coming from a base of $107.6 million, but it's important to explain the movement that's happened through our revenue. So if we work through the bridge that's provided on page 12, you'll see that there's a $10.4 million reduction due to the non-core CMS divestment. In addition to that, we've experienced some temporary impact to our revenue off the back of guest Wi-Fi and the COVID-19 impact on the guest Wi-Fi business, in addition to the Singapore FX translation. That's a reduction of $5.6 million. Other revenue year on year is non-recurring in nature, and so in FY20 we did have some design and construction revenue which was not repeated in FY21. The pleasing element of a result of revenue is the strength in our recurring connectivity and consumer, and you can see by the graph we've seen increase in connectivity recurring revenue of $8.2 million and increase in consumer revenue of $14.2 million. So whilst the revenue at its statutory level has gone from $107.6 to $110.7 million year on year, if we exclude the non-core CMS, which has now been fully divested out of our books, the actual underlying revenue has come from $95.1 million to $108.5 million. So that's a 14% increase in underlying revenue growth, which we believe we think is a pleasing result. If we move on to slide 13, we can see the EBITDA movement year on year. EBITDA for FY20 has come in at, was $13.5 million, and we've achieved an $18.2 million EBITDA for FY21. I should point out the $18.2 million does exclude acquisition costs that were incurred for the Exetel acquisition during the period. Again, if I walk you through the waterfall, you'll see that there's a reduction in EBITDA off the back of the divestment of the non-core assets. There's a temporary impact associated with the guest Wi-Fi, the Singapore FX translation, and I've offset that with the JobKeeper benefit that was provided to the group during the period. Again, other gross margins are non-recurring in nature, and we can see that decline, but it's good to point out the contribution that the connectivity and the consumer margin growth is providing, so that's a $9 million year-on-year uplift, in addition to, as Paul mentioned previously, the prudent approach we are taking around cost base, and it's pleasing to see that reduction of $4.4 million coming through year-on-year. Again, if I point out the underlying EBITDA, so that is excluding the non-core CMS divestment, is going from $8.4 million in FY20 to $17.5 million, which is 108% increase year on year. So we're quite pleased with that outcome. If we now move to slide 14, just to summarise the group performance in totality. So to reconfirm, revenue for the group in FY21 has come in at $110.7 million, gross margin at $52.2 million. The gross margin percentage is 47%. That has decreased year on year from 51% down to 47%. And there's two reasons for that. The first is the product mix. So obviously the strength in our consumer brand will deliver us a slightly lower margin. So we are seeing some movement in that margin off the back of that. In addition to Wi-Fi, so the Wi-Fi cost base is a relatively fixed, so the decline in revenue experienced in Wi-Fi will fall directly through gross margin. So when Wi-Fi rebounds back, when international borders are open, we'd expect to see that gross margin increase accordingly. Our operational costs, you can see the 17% reduction that Paul had discussed previously, and it's pleasing to see the cost controls continuing through the business. Statutory EBITDA excluding acquisition cost is coming in at the $18.2 million. Cash flow is something that we've monitored quite closely over the period, and we're pleased to announce we have hit a break-even position for the FY21 financial year, quite a turnaround from prior year of an outflow of $42.2 million. This was achieved through the incremental operating cash flows of $2.2 million, but in particular the reduction in investing cash flows that have occurred. So pleasing to see that result, and capital expenditure for the year has come in at 14.6. As Paul had previously mentioned, we generally guide the market to an average spend of approximately $20 million, but obviously every dollar of that $20 million gets assessed from a business case perspective to ensure it's required, and for this financial year the $14.6 million was sufficient in order for us to do what's required. We go to page 16, we can see the financial position of the group. We have got a very strong and flexible balance sheet currently. Cash balance at 30th of June is sitting at $89.7 million. I will point out that there is $76 million of the equity raise funds included in that cash balance. The remaining $21 million was settled in July with respect to the Exetel acquisition. on the basis that that cash balance does distort your net debt, et cetera, we provided a pro forma view of what net debt, the gearing ratio and leverage ratio would be if the transaction had been completed to 30th of June. So yet again, it shows strength at pro forma net debt sitting at $37 million, the pro forma gearing ratio sitting at 7.5%, and the pro forma leverage ratio sitting at 1.4 times multiple. I'll hand back over to you, Paul, to give the trading update.
Thanks, Lydia. Okay, so we're now on slide 18. Just to give you a quick snapshot of how we're tracking in FY22, obviously only 6 weeks in, so only so much to report, but actually it's been a good start to the quarter. FY20, if I start with connectivity, in the last financial year, we launched the new platform, our Superloop Connect platform, which was really an automation in front of our network that allows us to offer NBN aggregation services or a smart way of doing backhaul services on a per subscriber basis. That was the underlying technology that we sold to MyNetPhone, which was the great contract win we had at the start of this calendar year. But I'm pleased to say that traction with that application has continued, and we've written two new pieces of business in the first quarter here, or in the last 6 weeks, with Euroserve and Telair, a combined TCV of around $12 million for those two contracts. These are obviously just a snapshot of what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, but it's good to call out regardless. On the consumer side, the progress continues. So we've got a great trajectory there with the consumer business. Obviously, it's a great product, and many of you, I hope all of you on the call, are using that product. And we passed a milestone of some 50,000 subscribers on the Superloop Home Broadband platform there just last week, actually. So great momentum continues in the first part of the first quarter of the year. If we move over to the Exetel transaction, that clearly is the headline for Q1. We completed it at the end of July, and it's going really well. So the first services actually went live. First Exetel services went live on the Superloop network only 4 days after we completed the transaction. Now, that's an easy thing to say, and it's certainly not an easy thing to do. It was a result of an enormous amount of work from staff on both sides, both Superloop and Exetel, and not obviously just in the 4 days, but a lot of preparation was done pre-close, so much so that we were able to make those first test services go live so quickly after the transaction was completed. They were test services, as I said, so we've now actually just last week passed the milestone of the first of the bulk migrations, moving from the legacy provider of services into Exetel onto the Superloop network. So that first bulk migration went well, and we are now embarking on a program of completing those bulk migrations over the next weeks and months. More news on the Exetel side was the relaunch of their mobile offering, so moving away from legacy provider of mobile to the market-leading Telstra network. So that relaunch of the mobile offering has occurred actually again last week on the 20th of August. Another milestone, which we haven't quite got to yet, but we're about to, is that Exetel will launch the high-speed tiers, the NBN high-speed tiers, on the Superloop network on the 1st of September. So a lot of preparation had to be done to enable that. Exetel actually didn't have the opportunity to sell the high-speed tiers in the past on their legacy provider, and the market is moving more and more towards these high-speed tiers, and that's a segment of the market that obviously the Superloop network has been designed specifically to serve. So really encouraged with the progress in getting that available on the Exetel catalogue so quickly, and we've got big hopes for it. And then finally, obviously the synergy program is what underpinned a large part of what makes the Exetel transaction so materially accretive across all of our financial metrics. And that synergy program is proceeding really well. So all of the synergies that were identified all of the synergies that were promised in the market promise of $5 million of run rate synergies by the end of the first year have been identified. Execution is running ahead of schedule, and we're very confident that we'll deliver those synergies in full. Another thing I'd highlight over the last number of weeks that we've been tracking very closely is what's happening with churn. In a base such as this, any M&A has the potential to disturb the base, and so we're really careful to monitor the base and see if there are any indications that the transaction has triggered any churn, and we're very pleased to say that there has been no change in the churn profile over the last number of months for the Exetel base. So that's pretty encouraging as well. If we slide over to slide 20, this is not new, but I just remind everyone on just how material this transaction is for the new combined group. So on a standalone basis, you see that the $111 million of revenue there for Superloop is going to increase to over a quarter of $1 billion. The profitability pro forma moves to $34 million on EBITDA. EBITDA. Obviously, the leverage ratio you can see there. On the free cash, we're very proud of hitting on a standalone basis the break-even position for free cash in FY21, but clearly through the combined group and the benefits of the Superloop network and the Exetel customer base, we move from a break-even position to a position which is meaningfully cash flow accretive at the $14 million on a pro forma. So that's, I think, worth reiterating just why we have confidence that the platform that we've built is really set up for success into the future. Sliding on to FY21, this is the final thing I'll call out in terms of the trading update for first quarter of FY22, and that's an announcement we made a couple of weeks ago around a renewed investment in our core infrastructure in Australia. So we took the decision to invest further in our NBN and backhaul network. We had a great network, there was no question, but we want to move to the next level of resilience and remove any single points of failure in the network. So where we had fibre connections into all the NBN points of interconnect in the past, we're actually moving into an architecture in which we have multiple fibre connections into all but two of the NBN points of interconnect, and not just two fibres, but two diverse fibres, so in physically diverse routes and being homed back to different data centres. So every point of interconnect is homed back to two different data centres, and that is just a really substantial increase in the level of resilience across our whole network and really serves to be a step change in the quality of experience for all three of our customer segments, our consumer customers, our enterprise customers, and in particular for our wholesale customers there as well. So not all NBN backhaul networks are provided equally, are built equally. Many people will offer it, but if we look at where we're going in terms of the strength of our underlying NBN backhaul network there, it really is going to be something quite special. Pleasingly, we were able to make that investment within our capital envelope and with no substantial increase in COGS to get to that outcome. So we're pretty excited about that project as well. So that's all I was going to cover in terms of a trading update for FY22. So if we just, I think we hand over to questions in a sec, but I just want to reiterate that we really see FY21 as that transformational year, a year in which we not just made really strong progress through the first year of that multi-year plan, but we really now have the foundations in place to continue the momentum, to continue to grow organically across all three of our segments, and to continue to accelerate that inorganically through Exetel and potentially other transactions in the years to come. So with that, I'll hand over to Q&A.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press *2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Nick Harris with Morgans. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the questions. Just the first one. I appreciate it's probably dangerous to do this, but I'm just trying to take that slide 18, that 12 mil of TCV, and work out how to annualize it. So is it sensible or at least logical to basically double that to get a quarterly figure? Because you said it's the first 6 weeks, and that gets you to 24 mil, and then you basically multiply it by four to get to 96 mil for the year. Is there something wrong with my maths, or is that...
Well, Nick, we haven't released details of the contracts themselves nor the terms over which they've been written, and there's a migration period to move off the providers that they're already on and onto our platform. So I don't think it's quite so straightforward to model it out. But Lydia, is there any comment you want to make there?
Yeah, look, I think the 96 mil would be a little bit rich, to be honest. Very slightly optimistic, but yeah, as Paul has mentioned, that's the total contract value, so that's not, we've not necessarily, we've not disclosed the annualised recurring revenue, which is what we generally will disclose. So it's meant to give an indicative view of the momentum of the sales that have come into this year already, yeah, more so than anything else. So you might need a bit more time, Nick, to get to a position where you can model that one out.
Yeah, I'm trying to work it out. Obviously, you put CCV for the last couple of years, and I think it was 39 mil in FY20, 57 mil in FY21, and I'm thinking at the very least it's continuing to accelerate based on that Q1 rate. Is that a better way
to do it? It's the start of the year. We've called out two contracts there, which obviously are a great contribution to the TCV for the year. But you know, let's see how we track in the next number of months. And our ambition is to continue to grow, of course, continue to contribute to the backlog.
Thank you. I knew that was dangerous maths to do, but I thought I'd try my luck anyway. And then just two other questions on that. Just the enterprise Ethernet side of things. Paul, obviously, about 12 months ago, a little over 12 months ago, you hired a couple of your former offsiders to help get that kicking along. Are there any comments you could put on how that's going on a TCV or sales kind of perspective? And then just my last question was just trying to get a run rate. Is there any reason not to effectively just double your second half EBITDA as the starting point for next year?
I'll do the first one, and then Liz, you can comment on the second one. In terms of the enterprise or business segment, as we're calling it now, we've not broken it out of connectivity, but we're kicking the tires of how we do that in the future to just give you the more transparency there. So subjectively, the pipeline is building. I think I told you that last time we met. Nick, we're encouraged by the sort of logos that are open to talk to us, and these are slow sales cycle deals, but we're encouraged by the way the pipeline is building, but we haven't actually broken out how much of the connectivity progress is wholesale versus business, but we do intend to do that in the future.
Yeah, Nick, with regards to EBITDA as a starting point, yes, you also need to consider the fact of the completion of Exetel and how that will form into, obviously, the group EBITDA. In addition to that, there is obviously transition costs associated with the delivery of those synergies and the timing of those synergies. So there's a few, at a basic level, I would say yes, but there's obviously a few things to take into consideration to get to the group view.
Absolutely. That's great, guys. Thank you, and it's great to see that underlying growth.
Thanks.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Bob Chen with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hey, morning, guys. Just a few questions from me. Just revisiting that sort of trading update, I mean, how does that sort of 12 mil of TCV that you've done in the first 6 weeks sort of compare to your sort of internal expectations going into the year?
One of the challenges of these NBN backhaul or aggregation deals is how lumpy they are. So that 12 million is attributed to just those two contracts. It's not representing how we're trading in terms of the total TCV for the first couple of months of FY22. I haven't tried to give you a status update. I really just want to call out a couple of examples. You also need to obviously be aware of the margin profile of the NBN aggregation deals, which are different to selling, say, a complete or solely a backhaul link or something like that. So weigh those things in there. But we're happy with the way that the overall sales pipeline for the first quarter is going. We do our regular reviews, and I think the way it was described in the last business review was, it's been a good start to the quarter. That you can't sort of extrapolate that out to a number. We've not tried to give you a total TCV of the first couple of months. That's not the way we report it.
Yeah, okay, cool. No, that makes sense. And then just in terms of your sort of offshore assets in Singapore and Hong Kong, I know we've spoken about a strategic review or some sort of review being done on some of those assets. Can you give any updates on how that's sort of progressing?
Yep. So obviously we've seen growth across all of our customer segments and all of our geographies, but the growth in constant currency at least has been growth in Hong Kong as well. The growth in Hong Kong we've talked about for quite some time is not where we want it to be. We have more capacity in Hong Kong than we've proven our ability to monetize traditionally, and we have, as we've discussed, been undertaking and now completed a review of what we do with that excess capacity, and we have a number of options in front of us that we're now working our way through, and I can't update you on anything further because we haven't concluded the position on that, but we are exploring those options because we do have latent capacity there that we want to monetize in a better way. Singapore is performing a whole lot better, obviously, and their growth is continuing there as per the trajectory of the last couple of years.
Okay, cool. And then just in terms of supporting the overall growth in the business, how should we think about more OPEX investment going forward?
So OPEX as a percentage of sales is coming down, right? So on a standalone basis, obviously, you see that we've been reducing OPEX aggressively in the Superloop standalone business, and then the operating platform that Exetel brings is an even lower OPEX as a percentage of turnover. So the blended OPEX for the business going forward is substantially below, as a percentage of turnover, is substantially below where Superloop was on the standalone basis. So, I think the cost control that we've had, a number of years of proving out is in Superloop's DNA, will continue in the future. And it leads us to a pretty good place, I think.
Great, thanks for that.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Tyler for closing remarks.
All right, thanks very much. So, look, I'll just repeat what I said at the end of my presentation, which is that we're really encouraged with the progress in the results of FY21. We think they're a really strong set of standalone results. But it's not just the progress in FY21 that we're proud of. We think that the transformational nature of the strategy that we put in place and the execution or progress of our way through that strategy is really quite profound. And it sets us up strongly to continue the growth into the future. We have the foundations in place. We will continue to grow organically. We'll see strong organic growth across all of our three segments, but the way that the inorganic opportunities with Exetel and potentially other things is delivering leverage on the asset. So, we haven't materially had to increase, invest in the underlying network asset at all, and we're accelerating utilization of that through the organic and inorganic growth opportunities that we're working to. So pretty excited about where that leaves us for the future. So thanks everyone for your time, and have a great Tuesday. Thanks very much.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.